In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ.
Thanks, Andrew. Okay, so just a message for our littlies. Some of you, actually all of you, will have times or moments when you will struggle to like someone. It might be a brother or a sister. No, never. It might be, though. Or it might be even a mum or a dad or someone else. Or it might be that you are at school, and this often happens with school kids, is there's someone who just gives you a hard time and you don't know why. Yeah? How many people have experienced that? Most of us. All right? We don't often know why someone wants to give us a hard time, but it just happens. So if we can bring up the first image, Matt. Love your enemies. This one. This is going to go up at TK. This is a friend of mine who's an artist in the UK. And Clay, we feature a number of his paintings, which are done on Perspex, down at Te Claudia Cafe. This one is about to go up this week. So look out for that. It's amazing, beautiful. It's got a big silver frame like that as well. Now, you probably have seen, I think it's Uncle Sam, isn't it? It's Uncle Sam. So this was used, I think, for World War II for recruiting for people to join the army in the war. Yeah? So what Clay's done, he's a provocateur, an artist provocateur, which is a fancy name for provoking thought. So what he's done, he said, he's got Uncle Sam pointing at you saying, love your enemies. Just like Jesus instructed the people he was talking to love those who are mean to you. They're not necessarily your enemies, but they might be mean to you for no reason or a reason you are unaware of. So what Jesus is instructing us to do is to cut off the cycle of getting revenge. And when we seek revenge, what happens? Things get worse. They escalate. There's a big word. There's a word that's being used at the moment called de-escalation. And they're saying it's a skill that you need to learn. Because the world is getting increasingly agitated, isn't it? Everyone's got opinions on everything. Oh my goodness. So, what I'm asking the littlies to do now, and Kate's going to take them, is you've got these amazing cookies, all right? You might even be able to eat one if you're really good and quiet. But you'll be decorating them, and then you'll be thinking about who you could give a cookie to who's really annoyed you or been mean to you. Actually, everyone might like to do that. Do that in your own mind. So let's have the littlies come on up with Kate. Kate's going to decorate some biscuits. Can I have a look at one of the biscuits, Kate? Oh, I'm going to touch it. Wash your hands first. All right, there's these love hearts, and you're going to decorate them. And think about the person you're going to bless with these. And the not-so-littlies. Mind my fingers. The rest of you, I'm going to speak to you about what this means, this bit of scripture. Now, I'll give you the context of where Jesus spoke, but you can leave that up. That's good. I like that. The context of those of you who are new and joining us today is we're doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically the heart of Jesus' teaching when he's here on earth. So we've done it before a few years ago, but we're revisiting it because it's so important. And this year is a focus on Jesus. Okay, that's our focus as a church, is on Jesus. So we might as well focus on the heart of his teachings. So he spoke last week. He starts off the Sermon on the Mount saying, "You are the salt of the earth." And what's the other thing he started off saying? "You are the light of the world." Now, just so you understand the significance of what was going on in his audience's mind, he was not in Jerusalem proclaiming this to the religious and political top of the pile. Let's wait for these guys to settle a little bit. He was not declaring this to the political and religious elite. He was declaring this in a backwater called Galilee on a hill, which I've been to, near the Sea of Galilee, to what is known as the people of the land, the commoners, the people of the land. So you can imagine what they're thinking when he says to them, "You guys are the salt of the earth," which is where the expression comes from. "You guys are the light of the world." And they'll be going, "What? Little old me." So you can see that Jesus is actually taking the baton of God's calling and giving it to a people who don't expect it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yep. So you can understand what they're doing, what's going on in their mind when they hear Jesus talking like this. So they'd be thinking, "Well, that's great. This is this major calling on us, but how do I do it? How do I be salt to the earth and light to the world?" Well, let's look in history, modern history. Let's go to the next slide. Who's this? Martin Luther King Jr. Not Martin Luther. As my daughter made the mistake in an assignment at Wellington Girls. She thought Martin Luther was Martin Luther King. Understandable. Martin Luther King. He's our first model, or modern day model, or hero of someone who has lived out this scripture, this powerful, powerful scripture. He was assassinated in April 4th, 1968. I was 5 years old. I don't know if some of you can remember when he was assassinated. The 9 o'clock service definitely could. I didn't know who Martin Luther King Jr. was when I was five. Some of you here might have remembered that day. It's one of those days when someone is killed or passes away and everyone in the world knows. It's a bit like when John Lennon was shot. For me. So the movement that he led was a civil rights movement of North America or the USA. But the people involved in that movement were African Americans and European white Americans. It wasn't just a North American civil rights movement or American African civil rights movement. It was more than that. It was all of America, or most of America, was saying, "We need to change this." And you heard of Rosa Parks? She kicked it off by following Martin Luther King, getting onto a bus in Georgia, and refusing to sit down the back where black people were told to sit. And the driver had an argument with her and dragged her, and she walked off the bus rather than be involved in a confrontation. That was the beginning of the civil rights movement that led to his death. He's a minister, a Baptist minister. I'm going to read to you something that he spoke in a sermon at Washington, D.C., at the Memorial Chapel. He said this: "Hate for hate only intensifies the existence of hatred and evil." I'll read that again. "Hate for hate, revenge, only intensifies the existence of hatred and evil in the universe." He goes on, "The strong person is the person who can cut off the chain of hate, the chain of evil, and inject within the very structure of the universe that strong and powerful element of love." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So, the significance of this verse, taken from Jesus' teaching that he focused on and based the movement upon, is not just significant to you and to me, but is significant to the whole universe. Don't underestimate the power of this scripture that Jesus spoke. Now, that same principle, I'll look at someone else now, was embodied in the civil disobedience movement and active pacifism of Gandhi, who most of us know of. Gandhi's independence and disobedience and pacifist movement led to the independence of India and Pakistan in 1948 and the end of 200 years, 1947, and the end of 200 years of British colonial rule. That was Gandhi. Now, one of his key things, his key philosophy, was based upon this verse: loving your enemies. Can we take that one down now? As you can go back to the first one, the loving your enemies painting. Thank you. The last one, closer to home, and before these modern giants of history did what they were called to do, because it was a calling, Te Whiti o Rongomai and Tohu Kakahi, I don't know if you've heard of them, they lived out Jesus' teaching in the 1860s in Parihaka. They were a pacifist community whose land was being stolen from them by the British-based colonial government, who sent in 1,600 troops to get rid of these men, women, and children who were dedicated to living out the scripture. Now, the result of that was quite a bit of mayhem. They had white albatross feathers in their hair to represent peace. And they gave bread and food and water to the troops who were attacking them, because it said so in the Sermon on the Mount. The result of that is these two leaders were imprisoned without trial in the Chatham Islands. That's part of our heritage here. And guys, it's okay. We just need to be able to acknowledge it, because it's human nature, unfortunately. And it's darkness and greed that enables these things to exist, these injustices to exist, and to affect the livelihoods and lives of many people. These four heroes of modern history lived out and convinced others, when struck on the left cheek, to turn their right cheek. They convinced others to go the extra mile, this is figuratively speaking, when a soldier made them carry their pack. Apparently it was okay in Roman times to carry a pack a certain number of miles, and then you could drop it and say, nope, no more. Jesus said, take it the extra mile. See what that does. The other thing he said, if someone tries to sue you for your tunic, Give them their cloak. Give them your cloak also. They're big, big actions, aren't they? But these guys lived that out. Okay, so that's all very well, but what does that mean to me? What does that mean to you here today? Well, the first thing is, such a stance as these people made, Martin Luther King Jr., Te Whiti, Gandhi, a stance taken like that requires genuine forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness. Z. Millard, I think, spoke about forgiveness. And he said, someone annoys you or gets on your case or treats you badly, what do? Naturally, you replay things in your mind that you could have done or said, yeah? Or you might like to do or say. It's a bit like drinking poison and then hoping that the person that you're annoyed and really out of it with gets sick. Yeah? It's quite a nice little analogy. But we are called to forgive. And that is a test. If you have forgiven someone, the test is, can you pray a blessing upon them? So if you're struggling with someone, as we all do, can you pray a genuine blessing upon that person? And mentions that in the scripture here. Pray for your enemies or those who have wronged you. That requires a change of heart, a major change of heart. Well, you might say, well, that's all very good for you, Ian, but look, I can't do that. Look, some of you might know, I was brought up in the Wairarapa, and I was brought up in a little small village called Makuri, which means Dog Creek. And there were two teachers at this school where I was part of, and they were my mother and my father. Now, those of you who are involved in education, if you teach your own kids, there's one of two ways you can go. You can either spoil them, or you can either be too hard on them. All right? My dad was the latter. Mum was great. Dad was really tough. So Dad really wanted me to be a mathematician. He loved maths. I do not know why. And I was a serious disappointment to him. And he let that be known in the classroom. So you can imagine what that did to me. Some things we cannot let go of on our own. And that's my point today. Some things we cannot let go of on our own. We need a supernatural intervention in our hearts for us to let go of hurts and bitterness that has taken place in our lives. And most of us experience that because we're human, yeah? How do I know that? Well, Te Whiti and Tohu, Kakahi, Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Gandhi, they could not have done what they did on their own. They needed to have a change of heart. How do I know that? If I look at Stephen in the Bible, the first martyr of the early church. Do you remember in the story, it was Paul overseeing his stoning, and they stoned him as Paul held the guys who were stoning their cloaks and so forth. What was Stephen's last words? Do you remember? Father, forgive them. Does it remind you of someone else, his last words? Jesus on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So God is not inviting us to do something that he has not experienced and gone through himself. He understands totally the state of our own hearts and our hurts. With my dad, the supernatural breakthrough for me came on a ship in the Atlantic, in the middle of the Atlantic, unexpectedly. And we were worshiping, and I suddenly had this revelation of how much God loved my dad. And that revelation changed me. It enabled me to be free in the truest sense of the word. Your ability to forgive those who have wronged you in the past will be the difference between being bound by bitterness or being truly free. God offers you that freedom through the gospel and through his Holy Spirit. I don't know of any other religion that allows that freedom. Your ability to forgive is of universal significance to yourself, to those you love, to those you work with, to those you live with, to those you are yet to meet, to this church, to Karori, to Wellington, to New Zealand, to the world, to the universe. Just like those four characters we've spoken about. We're going to offer just a glimpse of that supernatural revelation in your life, in our lives, as we come to a time of worship. So can I invite the band to come up? So what we're going to do, can I invite the prayer ministry team to go to their places, please? What we're going to do is we've got a prayer station down the back at the altar. We've got anointing oil blessed by the bishop. We've got a prayer station. Actually, James, if you could stay there because the kids are there, might be better there. And we've got a prayer station here. And up here, we've got candles to light. So if there's someone in your mind that you're struggling with, and in your own heart, thank you, Natalie, that you are struggling with, and you don't want to go to any of these guys, who are lovely, by the way, and be anointed, you can come and light a candle at the altar. Okay, now while we're doing this, we will be worshiping. So you can just sit in your chair and sing with us. But we will do this until everyone who feels called to be prayed for that supernatural touch from a God who is merciful, kind, generous and loving, and loves you, until we've finished that. Is that okay? Yep. So we'll come up here and we'll start worshiping just in your own time. Concentrate on the words. If God is leading you to be prayed for, please, I implore you, go and be prayed for, whoever you are, wherever you're from, so you can be touched by God's Holy Spirit. Amen.